No,
I'm not coming in hot. How am
Do
I?
You want to come in hot?
No, I just want to. I want good sound.
Well, I think coming in hot would be poor sound. To be honest.
Well, I mean, I come in hot on an emotional level. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not making people's speakers crackle, but I'm coming in with the emotions.
Yes, you emotionally peak. Physically on here, I can't have that.
On here, for those at home, Emilio Sparks is referring to the soundboard, and by soundboard, I mean his little recorder thing.
Hey, listen, this little recorder thing has recorded a ton of content.
It certainly has.
From WWE superstars to the poppiest of pop culture man children.
Absolutely.
If this little thing could talk, boy.
Well, it doesn't talk, it records. That's its whole deal.
But if it was alive.
It would be like, clean me more. I look like a taser.
It does, which I like.
It looks so much like a taser. It looks specifically like the taser that Michelle Pfeiffer finds in Batman Returns and kills the clown with.
See, I was so anti-mini portable equipment because I was more mixing board, laptop.
Yeah.
The only mini we allow here is the mini episodes we do. And you can catch that every Wednesday. Pop Culture Man Children, you can search on iTunes, iTunes.com/Pop Culture Man Children.
Do you work for Con Ed? Because right now I'm looking at the King of Plugs.
Listen, all I got to tell you is we got to set the tone. We got to set the table. We have to let people know. We have to let the babies know where they can get the poppies.
Absolutely. They know.
Do they, though?
Yeah.
Do they?
We've got dozens of listeners.
All right. We got tens.
So what are we doing here?
Of 12. All right. So this is Pop Culture Man Children.
Over
there.
We're
coming to you from a bedroom.
Which is why it's good to have the portable, because we can just sort of record anywhere.
We take it and go.
Yeah.
You might get us at a toy store soon.
You might tease. That's what they call in the business a tease. Over there, to my right, the Beth to my Randall, the Miguel to my Jack.
Wow. Wow. We're going there?
Mr. Emilio Sparks.
Hi. And to my center, off left,
yeah,
my Barney Rubble to my Fred Flintstone.
Thank you.
My Carla to my Sam Malone.
That I agree with.
Ladies and gentlemen, the prof, Michael Christopher Buongiorno.
You just say that because I have a bar rag over my shoulder at all times.
I've also been watching a lot of Cheers again.
Hey, you know, is Ted Danson the best sitcom actor of all time? Trick question. It's yes, he is.
Why is that?
Don't you think so?
I think Tim Allen, too, would be pretty good. Tim Allen had two successful television shows.
Yeah, but I never felt like he was acting.
Who, Danson?
No. Allen. Allen was always just doing his bullshit. Where Ted Danson, like, look at Sam Malone, right?
Great character.
How different is he? Right.
Typical 80s playboy yuppie.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's nothing like Ted Danson's, like, prissy character from Bored to Death. Or like the way he plays himself in Curb, or like now in The Good Place. He's great in The Good Place.
I liked him in Becker.
I'm totally forgetting about Becker.
Becker, I think Becker's his best work.
He's great. Think about how much good stuff he has.
Well, he's also done CSI.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Ted Danson's done a lot.
Ted Danson, I'm saying it here, folks. The best sitcom actor of all time.
You want to hear something funny? You want to hear an Emilio Sparks fun fact?
Yeah.
My second album is called Scambino's Way.
Yeah.
But originally, it was going to be called What Would Ted Danson Do?
And did the Danson camp send you a cease and desist?
No. It was just, we just made a decision. We didn't know if the interwebs at that time would have been like, who's Ted Danson?
What kind of album was it?
It was a rap album.
What made you come up with that title?
I wanted something just odd. And I just thought, what better than What Would Ted Danson Do?
Right, right.
Because they had those What Would Jesus Do?
Right, right, right.
Or, you know, what would hashtag insert anybody
right, right,
the
right.
name do?
Yeah.
So I thought, you know what? Man, what would Ted Danson do? Because it was just Ted Danson. For some reason, he's always in the back of people's minds when you're talking about television or the sleazy womanizing character.
Right, it's which always, I don't think he is at all in real life.
No, but on TV, yeah. I think he perfected that. But he did it in a way that Sam Malone was also very vulnerable.
Yes. When he takes off his hairpiece, that's one of the best moments in sitcom history. And Ted Danson, unlike some other people, I'm looking at you, Ben Affleck and John Travolta. He's very open about wearing a hairpiece. He's just like, yeah, I wear it because I'm an actor and I have to look at a lot of different ways. But I'm not going to lie to you. I wear a hairpiece. Unlike some other people, Ben Affleck, Michael Keaton, Jared Leto.
That's got to stop.
Jared Leto isn't known for a hairpiece, but I'm purposefully pushing your buttons now.
I follow him on Snapchat. That hair is natural.
Does he follow us? Does he follow the Pop Culture Man Children? Because if he does, I'll stop making fun of him.
No.
What do you think about this is not technically news yet, but there's a rumor that Joaquin Phoenix is going to play the Joker now in some other new Joker project. Can we be done?
You can't be done with the Joker. The Joker's a character that they're going to need because clearly they're doing a Batman movie in this DC universe.
But if it's a DC universe, it should be Leto because he was established as the DCEU. And by DCEU, I mean DC Detective Comics European Union.
The EU.
Joker.
Well, maybe that's why. Maybe they're doing Batman in Europe.
Oh, so this, every continent has a different Joker.
Yeah, it's like European Vacation. You know what I mean?
I mean, he can't be as bad as Jared Leto. You know, the thing is, I've not seen Suicide Squad, so I am basing this entirely on still photographs from the interweb.
So why don't you watch it? I mean, I finally broke you down to the point where you watched Doctor Strange.
I liked it.
I told you. Benjamin Cumberbatch is amazing.
Oh, wait. He's a good actor, but his American accent is awful. Hi, I'm an American. My name is Dr. Stephen Strange, and I like coffee and cars. I'm an American, thank you.
He constantly has to set, like, the pitch.
He's constantly finding his, what do they call that with Keystone? You know, like, when you do an impression, like, you have one word that brings you back into it.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Dr. Stephen Strange.
I like coffee. I'm an American.
I'm an American. I like NASCAR.
I like beer.
I broke my hands in a car accident.
My hands.
At the end of that movie, there's, like, some weird, like, don't drive irresponsibly. Like PSA in the credits.
Yes, there is.
Because we all know Dr. Stephen Strange was going all around the hills of whatever the fuck that movie
Which is
takes
odd
place.
Because it's supposed to take place in New York.
Well, you know those mountains we have in New York.
You know.
You've seen
86th Street has tons of mountains.
Yeah. Well, you've seen that Jackie Chan movie with the mountains, Rumble in the Bronx.
Yeah.
There's mountains in that movie too.
Don't understand.
That's what you call location shooting and not caring. That's what that's called.
But I did love Rumble in the Bronx when it first came out.
Never saw it. I actually have not seen a lot of the Jackie Chan films. How many movies do you think he's made?
Jackie Chan?
Yeah.
Including all the ones in Asia?
Yeah.
It's got to be over 100.
See if we can put some action on this. I want to put a dollar on it.
I'll take that bet.
You'll take it?
Yeah, you can Bitcoin me.
All right. Bitcoin I am going dollar. To say my bet is 123 films.
Okay.
As a performer, 123.
Not even as a producer.
No. As a performer, 123. That's my bet.
Okay. I'm going to say a little higher. I'll say 175.
All right. And closest gets it.
Yes. 103.
103. We were both way off.
Yeah.
But still, that's impressive. 103?
Yeah. 103.
And by next year, it'll be like 107. Like, he just keeps going and
Well,
going.
He's kind of retired, but he will do, like, you know, special shows.
I mean, we all know his best film's a Tuxedo. Ladies go crazy for a sharp-dressed man.
I mean, how could you not love the Jennifer Love Hewitt vehicle?
Yeah, yeah.
Good
oh,
movie.
God, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
She was America's sweetheart at
I had
point.
Such a crush on her.
Didn't you? Now, was it in Can't Hardly Wait, or was it in Party of Five?
I was a Party of Fiver.
God, me too. I just added that to my watch list on Netflix.
Man. That show is so 90s.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I want to wait. It's on Netflix, is it really?
Yeah.
I got to get into that. You want to do some news?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So we've got what we call in the news business update on a continuing story.
Is it the Solo movie?
No, it's not. But we will talk about that.
Because I feel like we've talked about a lot of stories here.
Well, this is one that has been particularly a thorn in your side.
Oh.
So we've talked about how the new Muppet Babies is going to feature the new Muppet Baby, Summer the Purple Penguin.
She's got to go.
But what we found out was that it's not just going to feature Summer the Purple Penguin. Summer will take the place of classic Muppet Baby Skeeter.
Oh, come on!
Who is not going to appear. Now, a little bit of backstory for the kids at home. Scooter, who kind of looks like his head kind of looks like a I don't know, like a melon.
Like, yeah,
he looks a little like a honeydew melon. I'm thinking of Dr. Honeydew.
Yeah, he looks a little Pac-Man-ish.
Yeah. Scooter was a real Muppet. He was, I believe, like in the Muppet Show, like their like producer. He was always had like a clipboard. So when they made Muppet Babies, they were like, "We need another girl. Let's give Scooter
a twin sister, Skeeter."
Right. So Skeeter, I don't think ever appeared as a regular Muppet, but she's out now, replaced by Summer. And Tomato Sparks with the commentary.
I hate her already. I don't even know her yet, but I hate her. This is a goddamn travesty.
Do you feel Skeeter was bringing that much to the table?
No, but when you think of Scooter and Skeeter in the Muppet Babies, yes, they brought a lot to the table.
They were a good team.
She was a feisty.
Were they as good a team as Phil and Lil from Rugrats?
No, because I think the timing was different. I think Rugrats was more for teens, where Muppet Babies was actually geared towards small children.
Babies, yeah.
Yeah. Where Phil and Lil had... It wasn't that it was adult-themed dialogue.
It was a little bit sharper.
But, yeah.
Especially season one.
Yeah, they were witty.
Yeah.
But what I don't like is that you have Miss Piggy, who is the embodiment of sugar and spice and everything nice, and that's what little girls are made of, and pink, and, you know.
Right. Like, if you want to go by gender normative assumptions, sure.
Skeeter was more tomboy.
Yes, that's true.
Rough, adventurous, will take on a challenge head on.
Right.
Where Piggy was more apprehensive because she didn't want to break a nail.
Right. Even though she was tough and she did know kung fu.
She was.
She'd give you a hi-ya.
But you'd have to piss her off to get her there. So other than that, she let Kermit run the playroom.
That's right. He thought he was the man in that relationship.
Where Skeeter was like, uh-uh, Frog.
Right.
This is how it goes down in the playpen.
Right. Here's my thing here.
And I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think we're going to have a strong independent penguin. I think he's going to be a background character that pops in and out of every episode.
Well, my question is, why are we coming up with new Muppet Babies and not just babyfying some of the female Muppets that already exist? Why not make a Janet baby? She's in the band. Or Camilla, the chicken. Yeah.
And this is why I understand that they want to sell more. Penguins are cute.
The millennials love penguins.
I think so. They probably did a BuzzFeed poll and were like, do you like a penguin?
Jim Henson is behind BuzzFeed polls.
So all the neckbeards and the Tide Pod eaters are like, you know what?
Yeah.
We need a penguin Muppet baby.
Yeah.
First off, nobody cares about Janice. All right, Janice has always been a bit player.
But who cares about Scooter? There's more.
They make you want to care because Scooter was always that nervous, mousy. Kermit, we got to get the show on, blah, blah, blah. And Kermit would be like, yeah, we got it. Who also played up on his own, anxiety and performance anxiety issues anyway.
Right.
But when it comes to the cartoon, I mean, it's wrong, man. Like, I'm physically bothered by this.
I can tell.
Like, this was nice before. We had pancakes and strawberries. We came in, we talked about the show, what we're going to do. And now you brought me down, man.
I'm so sorry.
Like, fuck this penguin.
I know. Well, look, we're going to, here at Pop Culture Man Children, we are going to continue this story. And we're going to follow it as far as she goes.
I mean, we're going to have to watch the first episode.
Yeah, it's going to be...
Maybe she does something so groundbreaking and impactful for children's television that I'm going to be like, wow, you know what? This show couldn't exist without Summer the Purple Penguin.
You're not going with that mindset.
They're not doing anything. She's just going to be a background player that they could just sell stuffed animals for. That's it. And all the kids are going to be like, wow, you know what, Mom? I want that. And all the moms and dads for the holiday are going to buy a purple penguin.
Coming in hot, Emilio Sparks with the commentary. Thank you. Speaking of neckbeards, there is a new Ninja Turtles animated series again. And there are new designs, and some people are upset about the new designs look bulky. They look a little bit like they're influenced by the Michael Bay movies, which I kind of like. But are you ready for your childhood to be ruined? The new April O'Neil is black. Your childhood's not ruined?
No.
I could hear people on Reddit now already crying about their childhood being ruined.
Who cares?
Well, you know, childhood's being ruined is a big part of neck beards.
Oh yeah, well.
Yeah, you know, oh, Princess Leia used the Force, my childhood's ruined.
Yeah, in Neckbeardia.
Yeah.
That's the country that they're from.
April Neal's black, how dare you?
Shocking.
How dare you? My childhood is ruined. Female Ghostbusters, I won't have it, sir. I won't
female
have it.
Female Jedis.
No. None of this.
Women's wrestling taking the forefront where fans would much rather watch that than some of the dudes' work. Shocker.
No.
Women can wrestle, too.
Why you gotta ruin my childhood?
You know, I think this is ridiculous.
It actually looks cool.
I think it's gonna be a cool show. I've seen some of the pictures. I've seen the designs. I like the bulkiness of them because, listen, they're mutant turtles.
I like that it's almost like Power Rangers now where it seems like every 2 years they reboot it. And I'm kind of fine with that. That there's a million different types of them now.
You know, it's crazy if you think about it. That show, very whitewash, even in the way they even talk about Asian culture.
Yes. Greenwashed, am I right, everybody? This is the kind of comedy you could expect from Pop Culture Man Children.
Mike's here every Wednesday. Try the veal.
Rate and review.
Subscribe all on iTunes. But no, if you look at it that way, it is very whitewashed.
Well, it's very... It really displays Orientalism. It's a little bit xenophobic. Yeah.
Diversity's good.
Yeah.
Diversity's good. It can show children of African-American descent, hey, you know what?
I'm reflected in the media.
Exactly.
What's wrong with that? This perfectly sets up our next story, and this is another one. You know what? I've got to stop picking stories that are going to upset you, because I've realized I've got you all riled up, and I didn't mean to.
Well, every time you talk of Summer the Purple Penguin, I just seethe.
I'm sorry.
You raise my ire.
What about penguin children? Don't they get representation? Huh, Emilio? Why don't you talk out of one side of your mouth instead of both? Anyway, one of the most eagerly anticipated movies coming out is Marvel's Black Panther.
I'm excited.
And wouldn't you know it, there is a group of neckbeards that have created a Facebook group. Called Give Black Panther a Rotten Audience Score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Son of a bitch!
Here's their thinking. First of all, they did not say it's because it's a predominantly African-American cast, but obviously that's there. Whether they know it consciously or not, obviously that's there. Here's their problem. These delusional people believe that Disney is this evil cabal that owns... Well, Disney does own a lot, but these are mostly DC fans, and they think that Marvel pays off critics, or Disney pays off critics, to give Marvel movies good reviews, and they are purposely giving DC movies bad reviews, and the fix is in, and The Last Jedi sucked, but it gets good reviews. So it's all about these people feeling like they're going out for justice against Disney and Marvel, when it's like, I mean, it's a conspiracy theory, but it's also like the lamest conspiracy theory. Like, look, the Marvel movies happen to be better. If you like DC, great, you're allowed to like a movie. But this stuff of like, first of all, we're putting way too much stock in Rotten Tomatoes, right? Rotten Tomatoes is a good guideline.
I don't use it at all.
It's a good guideline, but it is not a good metric of really telling who likes what. But now this whole thing of like, oh, it's rigged. If you say it's rigged and then you go on and try to create a campaign to change the score, you are now the one rigging it. This is just more neckbeard nonsense. This is a quote from the description of this Facebook group. Given the massive success of the audience... Wait, I gotta sound like a neckbeard. Given the massive success of the audience review rigging on Rotten Tomatoes site for Star Wars The Last Jedi... and due to the sudden rise in those disgruntled with Disney business practices, among other factors, especially due to corporate manipulations, which created falsified bad press for the DCEU. Bro, these people who think that DC would be crushing it if it weren't for, like, an evil cabal of Disney people paying. It's like,
no, bro.
They're not that good.
No. Wonder Woman was the only good film.
We liked Justice League here. I think they could turn around, but you know, it's such nonsense. Falsified bad press for the DCEU. I feel that it's time to strike back at those under Disney and bring down the House of Mouse's actions for paying off critics that hurt DC Comics on film and for other parties affected by them.
I want to fight that entire group on Facebook. Like, if I could digitize myself and pop in and out of their computers, I would just bitch slap all of them.
You know what? Actually, let me correct myself. It's not a group. It's set up as a Facebook event on the day that it it comes out.
If I could fight an event, it would be that event.
Yeah. Don't forget, by the way, hashtag bring down Disney.
Now, how many people are in that event?
Oh, God. Let me look it up. No, I can't find it. Either it's gone or it has so few people in it that it's just not even showing up.
Bring down an entire movie franchise so DC can have the upper hand. You stupid bastards.
Just the idea that you really think that it's fixed because the thing you like is not getting the ratings that you want. Get the hell out of here. Yeah, that's right. Disney is going around paying critics. Like, stuff like that did happen in the old, old days of film. But, like, that's when it was a real free market. Now Disney owns everything. Why would they even need to pay
critics?
They
don't need to pay anybody.
I'm sorry.
They might juice up certain things for certain blogs or certain websites that do give a good response. So, like, they'll probably get a one-on-one with, you know, J.J. Abrams, or they might get a one-on-one with Mark Hamill, or, you know, maybe the cast of Iron Man, or maybe the cast of Black Panther, or, you know, Spider-Man or something, to the point where they can get a little something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like an incentive to continue to write about good things. But I don't see them as, oh, we're gonna use our muscle. We're going to flex our house of mouse even further, you dum-dums.
If your favorite series is the series that stars Jared Leto as the Joker, you backed the wrong horse. Right? Am I right, Emilio Sparks?
Well, listen, Suicide Squad was good. I liked it. I thought it was entertaining.
I've heard bad things.
It could have been a lot brighter, but most DC movies, I think, started with the Man of Steel.
The Zack Snyder effect?
Yeah, I think it has that Zack Snyder effect, and I think they need to get rid of that. I think they need to have more bright and colorful stuff.
Yeah.
In it, like the picture needs to punch. Like, you know, Marvel is beautiful.
Those movies are just better. Are you kidding me?
How pretty was their version of space in Guardians of the Galaxy 2?
Yeah, and that extends to Thor 3.
I like the fact that it copies Jack Kirby's space. There's certain patterns of maybe gases and stars where it has the Kirby dots.
So purple and nebulas and...
But they have the Kirby dots, which was a technique.
I'm an American. I'm a big fan of Jack Kirby comic books. As an American, I drink Folgers coffee and read Jack Kirby.
My name is Dr. Stephen Strange.
My name is Dr. Stephen Strange. I'm a neuroscientist. So good luck with that hashtag DC over Marvel.
Oh, I wanted to feel so bad.
Good luck with. How would you feel though if we found out Jared Leto was the guy who made that Facebook event?
You imagine he's sitting in his studio while he's working on his new 30 seconds over it. From Mars album. Why couldn't I play Bucky?
The Winter Soldier.
He could have played the Winter Soldier.
You know, I love the winters here in America. Back where I'm from, it rains a lot. I mean, no, I'm an American. So my last news item, which isn't really an item, is because of the Super Bowl, lots of trailers dropped. Did you see them all? We had Solo. We had Deadpool, which was fucking awesome. We had a Venom, which I'll be honest, I have not seen yet. I'm not excited about it.
I seen the trailer. Not excited.
And I'm forgetting one. What else?
Oh, you're forgetting the most important one.
Which was the most important one?
A Rock jumping from one building to another building.
Which is that Rampage or is that the other one?
No, that is called Skyscraper.
Skyscraper. Okay.
I think it's a remake of the Anna Nicole vehicle called Skyscraper.
Probably. I'm not going to look into that, but I'm going to say that's probably correct. So what did you think of these trailers?
It was the right place, right time, Super Bowl, a lot of eyes.
Absolutely.
Deadpool trailer was everything I wanted and more.
The thing they've been doing with shooting original material for the trailers, like this time around you had him playing with the dolls and doing like a Toy Story bit. That was hilarious.
Well, see,
Cable
that,
looks awesome.
That is the epitome of, I think, pop culture. And I think Ryan Reynolds gets it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He has a vested interest in this character. I feel like he bought the rights to it. You ever see, like...
Right. Like it's him.
It's him.
When I read Deadpool comics, I hear Ryan Reynolds' voice.
And I think that's what... I think that's the sign of, one, a really good actor.
Yes.
And two, somebody that gets it and understands it. Not just from a superficial level where they say, oh, you know, like, I read the comic books before the movie. Like, Jason Momoa didn't really know who Aquaman was. He knew Aquaman existed.
It got cool for a while to be like, I'm an actor and I don't know the thing that I'm in. You know, like what's her name? Natalie Portman. She was the first one I remember. She was like, I've never seen the Star Wars movies, but you know. And I was like, yeah, fuck you. Now it's getting cool to be a pop culture man.
Yeah,
I feel like he would be a great third host here.
He would.
Reynolds. Oh, we should get it. We should look into that.
We should.
Yeah, us and Ryan Reynolds. We could get Reynolds to come into your bedroom here.
I think, listen, for leading up to the Deadpool movie, I think that could happen.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I'm going to just yes and that bit.
Yeah, sure. But yeah, no, I think that he has a really good grasp of what the character is, the dialogue of the character. The character's really, listen, he's insane.
Somebody's got to be in charge. Someone's got to be the custodian. And
it's him.
At the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you've got Feige. With the Deadpool, you have Reynolds. With DC...
You don't know.
You don't have any... There's no, like, person who's like, I'm the guy in charge. And so this is part of the problem.
Make the rules here.
Right. This is... You're doing this wrong. You're doing this right. It's more like 1,000 chefs.
I also think the problem is, too, they don't really have a representative from DC who knows the work.
Right.
Saying, no, let's step in here.
Right.
Like, you know, you have Marvel executives who come in and know the stuff, but Feige is the one that they
when
he makes all the decisions.
And when Disney bought Marvel, I don't think they did anything to like change them.
No.
You know, it was like, you guys are doing good, keep doing it.
I think the meeting went something like this. Okay, you're buying us, that's great, but we're gonna make you billions of dollars, so let us continue to do what we do, just bankroll us.
Yeah. And then Feige extends his hand, and then a four-fingered white glove grabs it and shakes it.
I think that's what happened. All right, so let's do
that. What about Solo?
Donald Glover, man.
The moment.
How can you not pop for that?
When he smiles, he had me. I was like, fuck, Donald Glover is Lando Calrissian. Why is this movie not about him?
I wish it was.
Why is this movie not about him?
I wish it was. Hopefully, do we get a little Billy Dee cameo, maybe?
No, because, well...
Well, maybe he's just in the background playing somebody else?
I don't know. He almost was in The Last Jedi.
I don't know why they didn't put him in. He was such an important
actor. I feel like JJ is going to put him in Episode 9. I feel like he's got to be in there somewhere.
Has to.
Yeah. Maybe at the end, because now Rey has the Millennium Falcon, but maybe at the end of 9, they give it back to Lando. Because Lando had it. I don't know if they're going to show it in this movie, but Lando had it and he lost it in a card game to Han.
Which I think that they should do. I think he should have a fun game with Rey.
Yeah. Sabacc.
They should play Sabacc.
Yeah.
And he beats her.
Oh, him and Rey? Old man. Okay.
How fun
would I thought Rey would just have respect for an old rebel and just go, here you go, sir.
I think here she, the would, keys I think to she the... would do that anyway, but I would like to see it all come full circle the right way.
Yeah.
Let them play Sabacc.
Yeah, we're going to see. It's going to be good. Anything else? Oh, I know what I'm forgetting. This isn't that important. I'm forgetting the little Super Bowl teaser for Infinity War. But there was nothing that new in it, really. No. The only cool shot is when you see Dr. Stephen Strange do his, like, pull a circle out of the air thing, and then Iron Man flies through it. He's going to die, Iron Man, right?
Tony, I need you to fly through this.
I need you. I'm going to make a little circle with my hands, and you're going to fly right through it. Because I'm an American.
I think he's going to die off, yeah. I think he's going to die off in this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is his ending.
I think the way we know who's going to die is by looking at whose contracts are up.
And his is up.
And, you know, he's fine. He's good now.
I don't think he wants to play Iron Man anymore.
Did you see they did a class photo? It was Marvel Studios 10 crazy. Years. It's like a veritable who's who.
Do you know, do you notice that he's not in the center of the photo? He's a little bit more off to the side.
He should be in the
center.
Well,
he kind of resurrected. If it wasn't for Iron Man 1.
Come on. You think like Affleck showed up and he was like, I was Daredevil. And they were like, get the fuck out of here, Affleck.
You got to go.
With your fake hair. All right. Let's go to a break. I got to pee.
Wow. So much Affleck hate.
You know who would have been a great Daredevil?
Who?
Ted Danson. And we'll be back.
Making your way in the world today takes everything you've got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came. You want to be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You want to be where everybody knows your name. You want to go where people know people are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Like when I was a kid, I thought going to a bar was so cool because of Cheers.
Absolutely.
And then when you actually go to a bar, you realize it sucks. It is depressing.
You know why? Because it's old norms in real bars. Yeah. It's all sad norms.
You know one of the reasons why I stopped drinking?
Why?
Was because I didn't want to become that cliche.
You don't want to walk in there and everyone goes, hey, Emilio.
Sparks! I don't want that.
There's a weird transphobic line in the theme to Cheers. It's like they're describing all the bad things about your life, and it's like, and then your husband wants to be a girl. Something like that. It's in there. It may be in the longer cut of the song and not in the actual opening, but it's there's a line in there that's like, what the hell is this? This is a weird, it's a weird song.
Here's the full lyrics. Making your way through the world today takes everything you've got. Mm-hmm. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away?
Wow. What a mantra for drug use.
Yeah. All those nights you've got no lights, the check is in the mail.
So you're poor.
Your little angel hung the cat up by its tail.
Your child is abusing animals. That's the first sign of sociopathia.
And your third fiance didn't show.
Wow.
Sometimes you gotta go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You wanna be where you can see our troubles are all the same. You wanna be where everybody knows your name.
Yeah.
Roll out of bed, Mr. Coffee's dead. This morning looks bright. And all your stink ran off to Europe and didn't even write. What? And your husband wants to be a girl.
What? They wrote this in 1 hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, your husband wants to be a girl. Be glad there's one place in the world where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You want to go where the people know. People are all the same. You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Maybe if your child is abusing animals and your third fiance stood you up at the stand.
And your stink goes to Europe.
Right.
I don't even know what that means.
I don't know what that means either. Maybe you're the one with the problem, sir. And then maybe alcoholism is not the answer.
So aren't you glad that they just made it first verse, chorus, yeah, and then repeat the chorus
again?
Yeah.
Oh, God. So,
And we're back. This is Pop Culture Man Children. We're not sitting in a bar.
No, we're
sitting in a bedroom.
Yeah.
Mike's drinking coffee.
PCMC.
I'm drinking a water. We're alcohol free here.
I'm going to raise my mug here in memory of Jack Pearson. We're going to miss you, pal.
Whew.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is us.
Get ready, because this is going to be the whole segment.
This is it. This is it. This is what this is what we do. So there are two episodes that we want to talk about. We want to talk about the episode, the Super Bowl, which is the episode in which Jack dies.
Such a good episode.
And then followed by The Car, which is the follow-up.
Which I think is the stronger episode.
I think it's a terrible episode. But what's really funny is the one before the Super Bowl, the name of the episode is That'll Be the Day, which is an obvious reference to the song That'll Be the Day That I Die.
Yeah.
Geez, where do we start?
Let's just go.
How'd you feel about the Super Bowl episode?
Okay, before we get into anything.
Yeah. Spoilers?
Yes. How did the show know that a play in the Super Bowl was going to happen? They actually had the audio, or they recreated the audio from a play. in the Super Bowl that happened in the game.
Oh, in
when
the...
Kevin is sitting watching the game.
Maybe they were just ready for that.
That is so odd, man.
I did not know that. Maybe they were like, this is a cool moment. We'll just do this.
That is so odd.
Yeah. Because all that takes is just to have that moment open and then have somebody like be ready with a drop. It is weird. I didn't read about that. And I didn't watch the Super Bowl, so I had no idea.
I did.
Yeah, you did?
Yeah.
I was just like, when is this over so This Is Us can start?
Well, I was on Twitter saying, and T-minus X amount of hours till This Is Us. Right, T-minus right. X amount of minutes till This Is Us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It begins with a close-up of Jack, and you hear the sort of crackling of fire, and then he opens his eyes, and it's fucking, it's a rock and roll from there.
Yeah.
It's a very fast-paced episode.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of quick cuts. A lot of action.
We're right into it. Right into the house is on fire. Rebecca, get up.
Did you like
Where's Kevin?
Did you like the fact that at first they didn't have any music playing when it was
actually
happening?
Yeah.
It kind of felt like I was there.
It gave a real sort of a realistic tone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Rebecca is safe. He grabs Randall, says he was about to go downstairs to get Kevin. And she says, no, Kevin slept out. And then they were going to go get Kate. He had to come back in.
Yeah.
And it was just in and out, in and out, in and out.
Can I ask you a question? I don't know how to fight fires, but when
Neither
he's with Kate and he takes her mattress as like a shield, and then of course the mattress immediately sets on fire, I was like, does this make any sense?
Yes,
is this
does,
a thing you're supposed to do? Because it looked dumb.
For them to get into Jack and Rebecca's bedroom, which was where they had the roof where they could have climbed down.
Yeah.
It was easier to use the mattress as a shield because if they just ran out into the fire, they would have been burned.
But
so the mattress became a shield.
But couldn't there was nothing else in her bedroom that was less flammable and heavy than a mattress that he could have used as a shield? Just the fact that he starts to use a – I'm like, why is he holding a mattress?
It's a 17-year-old girl's bedroom. What is
– I don't know. A chair?
No. He needed that.
A mirror?
No. No.
A mattress is
something – you needed something to
– You need something heavy and made of cotton?
I think that's – would I have used that? No. But it was the smart thing to use when you're thinking in a jam. You're like, oh, man, I'm in a pickle here.
Yeah.
How do I de-pickle? How do I de-pickle?
Yeah.
Well, let me use the mattress as a shield that's engulfed with flames.
All right.
Because
so then gets Kate.
He gets Kate. She's fine.
They're all out on the roof.
How great did he rig the pulley system to lower them down?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He was on top of it.
He's such a good dad.
And then Louis's barking. And so we were all right, and when I say we, everyone online was right that Louis was involved. She didn't actually ask go get Louis, but she was upset, and he went and got
Louis. Well, she said,
Louis.
We got to get him. We have to rescue him. So indirectly, she's saying, Dad,
really, I don't remember that. I just remember going, Louis, come here. And then him going like, I got to go do this. And then
Doctor Strange and Jack sound the same.
I know. I need more than – you know why? Because they both speak out of the corner of their mouth. And then Rebecca's like, fuck Louis, don't go back in.
That's what I'm saying.
And he's like, no, I'm Jack Pearson, Superman. That was a very good moment of thwarting the audience's expectations. Because he's in there, and we're outside with the family. We think, this is it. We're never going to see Jack again. And then he emerges like Ron Howard out of Backdraft. And we're like, oh, okay. Of course, we still know he's going to die, but we expected that to be how he died.
But he didn't.
No,
he
didn't.
He came out with Kate's tape and their wedding album.
I know. Hey, Jack, how about you pick up the passports, maybe some jewelry? He picked up such stupid shit.
Well, no. I think that was stuff that he assumed would be... Mushy shit.
Hey, Jack, how about you get the checkbook while you're in there? How about you get my birth certificate?
Yeah.
Jack.
Yeah.
And then we go to the hospital.
And it's supposed to be all well and fine.
Yeah. We have the inimitable Bill Irwin
what
as
a
the
great
doctor.
Cameo.
I have a problem with it.
Why?
My problem with it.
Bill Irwin as a doctor?
I love Bill Irwin.
Okay.
In everything he does. My problem was they didn't use him. He had one good scene. He should have been used more. And he should have come back in the car instead of Major Dad again.
No.
Bill
no,
Irwin
no, no, no,
is a great
no.
actor who was underused. You don't think he was underused? He had two scenes. He had the scene where he's first talking to Jack,
which he's really funny and engaging in.
And then he had the best scene in the whole episode where he tells Rebecca that Jack died.
He's forever immortalized in that scene for that show.
He could have done more.
No, it's
he's
perfect.
A great actor.
Yeah, he's a great actor, but they needed him to do that. How great are his scenes?
No, they're great.
Boom, that's all they needed.
No, they need more.
I don't think so.
They wasted their money.
I don't want to see how Jack died.
I don't want to see how Jack died either. I thought it was brilliant that it happened so quick. That she goes to get a candy bar, and in the background, she's in regular motion, but in the background, it's slow motion, which is a really cool effect.
Yeah.
And they're running, and he's just, boom, it just happens so quickly. And then her reaction, well, I think, is brilliant when she just, like, bites the candy bar, and she's just, like, doesn't get it. Like,
yeah.
I feel like I've never been in that moment, but something about that feels real to me. Like that's what you'd be like, what? I don't understand. Like, you would just not get it.
Yeah, who would have thought she would have been an exceptional actress?
I know, right? Can you name one Mandy Moore song?
Oh, the hit.
What was the hit?
Candy?
Candy, okay. She is a great actress.
I mean, do you remember that music video?
No, I don't.
Oh, God, she was so cute back then. She's gorgeous now, but yeah. She was adorable.
That was a long time ago now.
She was a pop star.
Yeah, she
1999.
Was.
1999. She's in her Volkswagen. 99. She's in her Volkswagen Beetle while she's singing that song, I'm Missing You Like Candy, yay, yay.
Yeah. Medium Kate and Medium Kevin and Randall, they would be listening to Mandy Moore records in their timeline, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because they're in the 90s. They were just talking about Titanic.
Yeah. And that came out, when? 90,
that'd be meta.
97?
7 or 6.
So if it came out in 96, Mandy Moore came out in 99.
Right.
They would be 18. Or maybe,
yes,
19.
Yeah. Kate would probably look up to Mandy Moore.
They have to shoehorn that in, I feel.
That'd be so meta. That'd be so meta.
People would love that.
They
got to do it.
How do you feel about the product placement of whatever the Twix bar in that Jack's dead scene?
Well,
I was thinking
it was,
Twix.
It was like no chocolate,
the candy
and no
of death
stuff,
right?
Which I thought was really funny. He was like, "You know me, no chocolate, no purple stuff."
Right.
So what did they see? The only candy bar, Twix, which they probably paid, and then whatever the purple candy was. And she's like, "Sorry, babe."
I just love the idea of that product integration. Like, you know, we want to be the official candy of Rebecca finding out the love of her life is dead.
Which also,
we want to upstage Bill Irwin.
It was so good that even that whole scene where he knew he was going because he didn't feel good. He knew it.
Disagree entirely. Yeah, he thought everything was fine. Everyone thought everything was fine.
I don't know, man. You saw it on his face.
He was like, no big deal. He was
even that part where after he says Rebecca and she comes back, he goes, "You're in front of the TV."
Yeah.
She walks out. They show him the side profile.
Yeah.
And he's like breathing heavy. He knew something was happening.
I don't think. Oh, he knew that he should have went straight to the hospital. And he should have. I don't know why he wasn't put in
the ambulance.
But I don't think he knew he was going to die. I think he knew he didn't feel great. I didn't think he thought, this is the last time I'm going to see Rebecca. Although I like, some people seem sad that the last thing he said to her was movie blog and TV. I thought it was cute, and she stuck her tongue out at him. I didn't think it was a bad thing.
No, I thought it was cute. I think it was I think it shows the dynamic that he is trying to make her feel better about the situation.
Right.
And it's like, okay, it's okay. Everything's fine.
We're here.
You know, let's.
Bill Irwin's guest starring. Everything's great.
Everything's great. Let's rebuild our lives.
Kevin had to go and get it wet tonight, so he's not here.
Yeah. In typical douchebag Kevin fashion.
Kevin
worried about his penis more than the family.
God damn it, Kevin. Where's that attitude adjustment Jack told you about, Kevin?
He didn't have it. And his son of a bitch didn't have it at the funeral service either.
Let's go one episode. Let's go through this chronologically.
All right, go ahead.
So, I loved Bill Irwin. I loved the scene. Mandy Moore is a great actress. That was great. You ever see the movie Contagion?
No.
It reminded me a little bit of, in that movie Contagion, there's a great scene with, what's his name? Matt Damon, his wife dies, and they tell him and he just doesn't get it. And I wonder if that's a real thing that happens in real life.
I think the initial shock of hearing that this person you're with for 21 years or X amount of years, because they were together for 21.
Yeah.
Which boggles my mind.
And just your brain doesn't accept that that's even possible. Like, when somebody says, your husband died, she's like, no. She, even when she was like, don't you remember me? We were just talking. Like, she was like, this must be, it does not calculate.
No.
And then she goes and sees him and cries.
Which is a real powerful scene because you see her.
Yeah.
And then in the mirror or the window.
Reflection of him.
And then, that's a powerful scene because you see her, and then you see the reflection of him within the glass door.
Yeah. I heard that when they shot it, he wasn't going to be there, and then Milo lay down, and so she was genuinely surprised to see him there.
Yeah.
And that's part of her reaction. Because her reaction there is deep.
Yeah, I think he called an audible, Milo. He was like, I gotta lay down.
Yeah, here. I gotta fucking be here.
I gotta lay down. She needs to see, like, my lifeless body.
Yeah.
But then, because then we saw the outline of him.
Yeah.
Just laying there with the shirt just ripped lifeless, open.
Yeah.
And you're like, damn.
Yeah.
Damn, he's so good.
Yeah.
And you're like, fuck, I don't want this guy to go.
Yeah. But see, this is a little bit of my problem with the entire series, which is Jack is too perfect. He's too much Superman. Even with his alcoholism, there was not a lot of, you know, there was not a lot of warts and all. And I guess this is the problem with a lot of network dramas. He's just such a superhero. And I get that that's fun, but at the same time,
I think it'll come out later. I think most of his insecurities and his frailties will come out as the season progresses.
Okay.
Because they said he's going to constantly be in the show.
Right. We already know that because he's in the next episode way too fucking much.
Well, they needed him in that episode.
No, they didn't.
They were. It's supposed to be remembering him. They're remembering him.
No. I can't remember if you're right in front of me. All right. Before we move on to the second episode, let's talk about the present day stuff in the Super Bowl episode with Randall. First of all, is Stephen Moffat writing for This Is Us now? Because that whole ending with Randall's daughter and old Randall, I was like, what's with the fucking time travel bullshit with this show? Every time now that the series introduces people that you don't know, it's going to be a trick. It's going to be a gimmick.
Yeah, it is.
So, of course, we thought this was going to be another kid that's going to come into Randall's household as a foster kid. And no, it's the future, and it's Randall's daughter became... Which is like, all right, that's cool, but at the same time, it's like...
And they found an actress who looks like adult
they
Tess.
They did.
Perfect.
Is this a sign of things to come?
Yes.
Is this where the show's going to go, future? Like, are they going to add another timeline of old them?
I don't think that they'll add another timeline, where we'll see another timeline. I don't think they're going to jump from present to past to future.
They might.
I think in certain areas, like, certain things will come.
Maybe not a major timeline, but I think, like, we'll see the future again. We'll see old Kate. We'll see old Kev.
I hope he doesn't win an Oscar.
We'll see Kevin drunk driving in a flying car in 2035.
I hope he doesn't win an Oscar.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be like a movie star.
He has won already, but I don't want to see that Stallone movie takes off.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him win an Academy Award. He's such a douchebag.
I've grown to like him. Since he's been in the house with Mandy Moore, I've grown to like him. He has good chemistry with Mandy Moore, the actors together.
Oh, yeah. He even has good chemistry with Miguel. When he tells Miguel, why are you here?
Fucking Miguel. Do you think that...
She's my wife.
Do you think that Miguel and Rebecca actually have sex? Or do they just sit on the couch and watch HGTV?
I just think they just sit on the couch.
They just watch house shows?
Yeah, I don't see... Oh, that would be... Oh, God, that would be so weird. I don't think I could do that.
What? As Miguel? Well, you're not a scumbag.
No, like,
Miguel
if you
is.
Die in a fire, tragically, right?
Yeah.
And I wait, I don't know.
For Facebook to be invented?
For Facebook to be, yeah, literally. Like, Facebook in 2017 to be a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I could hit on your woman.
When Kevin said, have you always been in love with my mom? And he said no.
He's a liar.
That's a fucking lie. Of course you have.
But she was so not paying attention to him.
Yeah.
Like when she
No, it was not mutual.
No, but the how great was that part where she was like, I need you to man up right now.
Yeah, when he was crying.
Yeah, like, listen, either man up.
Yeah.
Or go walk around the block.
Get the fuck out of your own house.
Yeah. I got to go tell my kids their father died.
And they showed him crying. And to me, that's another the producers of the show trying to get us to like Miguel.
It was his best friend.
And it's not going to fucking happen.
Well, we don't like Miguel because we see too much into the present day.
Right.
But if they just showed Miguel not with Mandy Moore, then you would have been like, damn, he lost his best friend.
Yeah.
But for the fact that he slid in her DM.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Because it's the life that Jack and Rebecca were supposed to have, not
Absolutely.
Rebecca and Miguel.
Absolutely. Miguel. You know what upset me?
After bad haircuts throughout that whole back in time scene?
No. Oh. When Rebecca tells the kids and then Kate says to Randall, I have to tell Kevin. I was upset by that.
The twin thing.
No, I know, but they're God damn it, they're the big three. They're triplets. I don't like that. I don't like when Randall's singled out that way.
I don't think of it as that they singled out Randall.
That's what I immediately thought. The way Kate was like, I have to tell Kevin.
Yeah, because I think she wanted to break it to him that, because that twin bond.
Well, this is what I'm saying. That's leaving Randall out. Why can't Randall tell Kevin? Why can't they tell him together? It was like a moment of, our connection's more important. You're not legitimate.
No, I don't see it like that. But we also know that Randall gets worked up and he's overly sensitive. And
so I don't think she was like, I'll do this for you. I think she was like, I'm going to tell Kevin. You're not going to tell Kevin. That's the way I felt.
I didn't even think of it that way. I just thought because of the twin bond, and we already seen him stress out the high-pressure situations where he shuts down and has a nervous breakdown when he's older, that maybe he can't process that right now.
Yeah, maybe.
That not only did his biological father abandon him, but now the man that he known as now the man that he's known as his father, his entire life, has abandoned him metaphorically.
Yes.
He's gone.
It hurt my feelings when Kate said that. It hurt me. I was like, come on, Kate. No, it's not the time.
But it really shows how strong of a character Rebecca Pearson is.
Yeah, yeah. She went and drove and cried on her own.
She had to.
When they did the fucking Doctor Who Stephen Moffat trick where they show future, what's her name? Tess. You see the picture. The Jackson Pollock, which is from the first season where Kevin does basically the thesis of the show, where he tells a story. And you see, like, Jack's great-grandfather coming to, like, New York Harbor and, like, all that thing. So that was a cool moment. What did you think of the stinger scene? It was a bit weird. Do you know what I'm talking about? Right after the credits, there was that weird stinger scene?
Yeah. And then it's like, you pop out and it's like, hello, I'm Dr. Stephen Strange.
No.
Jack, I need you to fly through this hole.
No, I mean, it's not that stinger scene. I'm talking about my mistake. It was the stinger scene for the car. It was the second episode that we're talking about. It was after the funeral. You see Miguel walk back to a car and he gets in the back seat, and we see across away from him is a pressure cooker. And Miguel goes, well done, my friend. It's all coming into plan.
Now we wait.
Mark Zuckerberg's next to the pressure cooker, like child Mark Zuckerberg, and he's like, all right, guys, we all know our part of this plan, right?
Miguel is sitting in the car with the pressure cooker.
The long game.
Mark, when you're going to whip off the wrinkle vases in about 10 years.
Miguel was behind all of that.
He was the higher being the entire time.
Fucking Miguel.
He figured out the space-time continuum.
Yes. Listen, Miguel's a straight-up heel. That's all I have to say about him.
That's a great term for you. That's a wrestling term. Look at you.
Don't patronize me, my friend.
I'm sorry.
So the second episode is a piece of garbage. It's called The Car.
They decided
narratively to ground it all in the car for I don't know what fucking reason. Makes no sense.
What are you talking about?
Also, we begin with a Jack Alive scene. So if you're feeling any emotions from the last episode, don't worry. Here he is. He's still in the show. Don't feel anything.
I think you're wrong. I think the embodiment of, you know, childhood in certain times is in Dad's car. How many memories could you tell me right now?
Has the car ever been in the show before?
The car's in the show all the time.
But to say the funeral scene is going to be about the car and we're buying the car, what the fuck was that?
Because the car represented Jack. It was the last vestige of... They had nothing else. There was nothing of Jack other than a watch.
Uh-huh. And some Springsteen tickets.
All they have is that car.
All right.
And he loved the car, wanted the car, made reference to fixing the car.
Okay. All right. I'll go with you on that. I think for one episode, it should have stayed with the funeral timeline and stayed with maybe the future timeline. Look, because we all know that Jack's not going away because the show is throughout all of time, right? That's the whole point of it. We should have felt the absence. They should have let that second episode... Since, you know, we're seeing through Rebecca's eyes this pain, Why is the first thing we see is them buying a car and him being super dad? It's like, let me miss you. They should have waited. They should have waited. Maybe even the next episode come back with Jack. We should have felt his absence.
I think it's different. I think it's like a jolt. It's kind of like a tease now. Now you know he's gone.
But we've known that for a while.
No. But it was the way it hit last week. And then the way it hit this week, it's like, all right, now we're gonna tug on your heartstrings even more, and you're gonna like this.
I disagree. I feel like it didn't tug on my heartstrings. It made me. It almost like healed me. I was like, oh yeah, Jack's not going anywhere. If he had not been there, if he had been literally absent, the feelings.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. From your own personal life, how many years has your grandfather been passed?
He died in 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you were a little kid, were there any memories of you driving around in his car in Brooklyn?
A few.
But they were memories of the car, though,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
But you can remember the car? You can remember what your grandfather...
I can. I can remember his fedora and his shoes. Why don't we have the episode called Shoes? And Jack goes to a haberdasher.
Well, maybe if that was This Is Us, / The Bongiornos, it would be that.
And
because that's what it is reminiscent.
And then him wrangling with the fucking him dickering with the fucking guy.
Great.
Why? I'm going to tell you that I'm super dad. You're going to give me a deal on this car.
It's the monologue that shows. Wow, he really fucking loved.
Haven't we seen this already? We know he loved. You know what? I want more dirt. I want Jack to be a real person. I want to find out that when he was drinking, he fucked some cocktail waitress.
He probably did.
Let's see it. Let's burst that bubble a little bit.
I think we're going to see more with the brother's death, because they even talked about that.
Well, now we know he died in Vietnam, right?
Yeah, I think you could have known that.
Well, we knew he was in Vietnam, and we knew that he was estranged. I guess, yeah, maybe. I didn't read it that way. I read that he was out there somewhere. I actually was waiting to see him show up at the funeral.
No, you knew
and
he was dead.
And thought that would be, like, it. You know what I mean? Like, his introduction.
No.
And now, Jeff Goldblum as long-lost Pearson brother.
Which would be great.
Rebecca, I'm so sorry about you, what happened to Jack, and kids, Kate, Kevin, Randall, how are you?
Sit down, I'll tell you stories about when we were kids,
Our mom made a pie, was that rhubarb? You ever have a nice piece of rhubarb, Randall? That I would have liked, but no, they go and bring back Major Dad.
How could you not like Dr. K?
Snooze. What? I'm so sick of this guy.
What?
Here's my problem with This Is Us. When they get magical, when it's too Stephen Moffat, when it's too everything ties together in a bow, I'm like,
no,
he's the doctor.
Who delivered the children.
And how many children has he delivered in his career?
But he's also
a million?
The doctor that had that amazing beginning speech.
The worst part of the pilot, you mean? The worst part of the pilot?
You have no soul.
No, I like, look. I like This Is Us.
You're not a fan of just really touching dialogue.
No, I'm a fan of touching dialogue. I'm just not a fan of contrived bullshit.
I don't think anything Dr. K has done was contrived bullshit. I also like that...
First of all, his name is Major Dad.
It's Dr. K in this episode. In this universe, he's Dr. K.
This Is Us has a nice...
Because he even said that Jack would come to the office and ask him questions.
Why? Why, Jack?
Because maybe he felt that he couldn't go to his father. Listen, Jack was a repressor.
All he was a fucking doctor.
A doctor that gave your children life.
Actually, 1 out of 3 fucked up, so... You know.
But still, he considered him because maybe he was a doctor.
Little
and had a mustache
Keith or whatever his name was. What was his kid's name going to be?
Kyle.
Kyle. Little Kyle. Dr. K fucked up with little Kyle, didn't he?
Well.
He dropped little Kyle on his face and then he died. He's like, oh shit. All right. Nobody tell the Pearsons about this one.
We'll just say he died stillbirth.
Yeah, we'll just, you know.
Yeah. No. You had it wrong.
Sometimes the show is very realistic, and I like it. And then sometimes it gets a little too corny, and that's when I'm like...
It plays on TV sap, which is supposed to.
Yeah, I don't mind sap. It just...
It's the most wholesome program that I think exists for network television, specifically at nighttime.
No, it's totally wholesome, and I'm not anti-wholesome. I just don't like... It feels lazy to me when it gets too magical. That's why I tend to actually like the...
Magical, though.
I tend to like the 2017 scenes with the adult children more.
Because they're fucked up.
Bro, and it's because it's less, that stuff's less corny. The stuff with Jack in the past, as much as I love Jack and Rebecca, sometimes that stuff is too maudlin.
Yeah, but here's why, though. Is because they hero worship the father. So everything that the father did was perfect.
Well, it would be one thing if we saw them narrating it, so then we could go, oh, this is their memory of Jack.
But that's what it is, though. It's a memory.
No, I don't see it that way.
I look at every flashback scene.
It's not grounded that way.
I look at every flashback scene as a memory.
I don't know. Okay, that's an interesting read of it. I don't read it that way. I just read it as
because
here are our timelines, especially because we start with the past.
But it tells the story, though. It tells the story. The episode.
It would be one thing if they were telling. You know, it would be one thing if it were like How I Met Your Mother, and it's future Randall, and he's telling his grandkids about This Is Us, and then then it would make sense that they're censoring things and changing things. But to me, I just read it as all of it's meant to be taken as real. Or as narratively, as having narrative verisimilitude.
Well, I think it works with the narrative in a linear fashion, where if there is something that is Kate centric, then we will see something with Kate and Jack,
right?
Or
absolutely,
Kate and Rebecca,
right?
So
it tells the story.
It echoes. So yeah, it works like that. So yeah, it's a flashback. You don't have.
No, but a flashback means that you are settled in the present.
But who says that you have to do that? Why does it have to have the standard guard? Why can't you tell the story in a flashback form that doesn't have the
right. Well, you're right. I mean, to me, I'm just talking about how I read it. Okay. I've never read it as being of course it is, but I'm just saying I've never read it as being grounded in the future and the past being through rose-colored glasses.
I always thought
especially because it's not – there are things that are not about the kids. So it's like it can't necessarily be the kids always recounting every memory because there's stuff that's just Jack and Rebecca that the kids don't know.
Yeah, but I think – yeah, but that also goes with the arc of the storytelling that goes back in time that does the TBT.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? You need that throwback.
Yeah.
Because it also has to set up who Jack was and who Rebecca was before Miguel. Because the Rebecca before Miguel is badass, and the Rebecca with Miguel is kind of like she's beaten.
All right. All right. Well, you said before that you thought the car was better than Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah.
Why do you think that's a better
episode?
Because
I think that you're seeing these odd connections. Specifically, him and Kate, when they discuss Alanis Morissette, I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
And I liked the dynamic. And, you know, and it's like maybe a few weeks before he died.
But, I don't know. I mean, looking at both his episodes, I thought Super Bowl Sunday was an excellent episode.
It was. See, you liked it for the storytelling.
I liked it for the editing and the acting. It really stood out cinematically.
That's why I think you like it. I like... Mm-hmm. The car, because it played up on the emotion that you have
this
one thing.
Does this have anything to do with the fact that you just bought a car?
No.
Is that playing into this at all?
I do miss
my
Ford Explorer.
Did your dad go with you to buy the new car?
Yes, he did.
Is this at all playing into it?
No. I didn't even think of that until you just brought it up.
Well,
I'm just saying
that. I'm a brilliant man.
You are. With the exception of a couple of things, but yeah. I think that it plays into the role of... Like, you have this one thing of his. And then they even made reference to the watch. There's only, like, three pieces that Jack has. There's nothing else. They have nothing else. His family has nothing else. They're living in a hotel. They have nothing.
Yeah.
They have nothing. Everything that they had is
You know
gone.
Miguel was upset about that. He was like, yeah, Rebecca, stay here with the kids. It's all right. Look, we can share a bedroom. You can have the bed. And then she was like, no, we're going to go to a hotel. And he was like, ah, damn it. Time to put the Zuckerberg contingency plan into place. He's Skeletor, if you didn't get that reference.
Oh, Jack, you bumbling fool.
You furry fool.
Oh, crockpot, you wonderful fire starter, you.
Did you, this might just be my perverted brain, but when the last moment between Jack and Rebecca, when he goes, you're blocking TV, he checks her out, right?
Yeah.
He checks her out one last time.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's what...
For to be married that many years and still check your wife out? Come on, that's sweet. That's sweet.
I think so.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
I hope to check out my wife in 21 years.
Yeah, I hope to have a wife in 21 years.
So do I. I hope it's not a sex robot.
Can I tell you something? If you have a wife, a beautiful wife,
yeah,
and you die,
uh-huh,
I'm going to wait at least a decade before I Miguel in there.
All right.
This is for me to you. This is a promise I'm
making. Oh, thanks. I can't do it to you.
You wouldn't be able to do it to me?
No.
I'm going to bring, just as an in joke, for your wedding gift, I'm going to bring you a crock pot.
I think I'll be the only one that'll get it.
Yeah. That would just be between me and you.
Do you think that they ever gave Rebecca any more crock pots after that?
Do you think she went over and beat the shit out of that? those two people?
No, they were gone. They were gone.
Oh, that's right. They were gone.
They moved.
Yeah, we don't see any forensics.
He's accessory to arson.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't see any of them talking to the cops. Like, does Rebecca know how the fire started?
I think so, but I think those are all minute details that we don't need to see.
Yeah, you don't care at that point.
I think at that point we know the main character's gone, who represses all his shit. And you see that in the scene where he's teaching Kevin and Randall how to drive.
Yeah,
and then
he
tells them both when they're arguing
and
they're not paying attention. They almost get into a car accident, wrecking the family car.
Yeah.
To get out. It's like 5 miles to walk. Get out.
Yeah.
Boom. Then they come back, and when they come back to the house,
He's working on the car,
and they start to get into the brother a little bit, and the father being an alcoholic.
Yeah.
And all of that. But I think Jack is a repressor.
Yeah.
I think, like most of those baby boomer children,
mm-hmm,
to be born after World War II, I think most of them.
But you never see him yell. You tell me he never yelled, never hit anybody. Come on. I could see him being perfect to Kate.
Did you ever get hit when you were a kid?
Yeah, I was raised in the 80s.
I never got hit.
I totally got hit.
I never got hit. You could ask my... I wish we could grab my father for this episode.
You were never...
I never got hit.
I mean, I wasn't abused. I mean, by today's standard, they would say I was abused.
No, they never laid a hand on us.
It was at the time, it was normal.
Nope. Really? Never got hit, ever.
Well, you know what? Maybe they should have. I'm looking at you now.
Long hair, beard, I'm looking real swathy.
Yeah, maybe things would have worked out better if you had a little bit more negative reinforcement.
So if I got a... As my father used to say in his Boston accent, my father used to give me lickings.
Uh-huh.
That's what he's, because I think...
Oh, because it's that... Well, it's that thing. If you've got a shitty parent, you're going to be different.
Well, my grandfather isn't a shitty man. I just think that...
Oh, I know.
That was the culture back then. And even my grandfather admits it. That's how you just dealt with
your children. Your grandfather didn't drink gin on a TV folding table?
No. The like Jack's dad. The only time my father said that he'd ever see his father, my grandfather, have any type of alcoholic beverage would be wine with macaroni on Sunday, and it would be one glass.
Yeah, that's what my grandfather did too.
Because my grandfather was legitimately a construction, like he was that strong, silent type where all they do is work and do construction for 18 hours a day. But that's why I think that he repressed everything and didn't want to yell at his kids because it was such a hostile living environment that he was going to talk to them as individuals and human beings to make them
Kevin
understand.
Maybe Kevin needed a little bit
of yelling. I think Kevin definitely needed a licking, as my father would say.
He needed a little kick in the trousers is what he needed.
He definitely did.
What do you think of the scene where he's like, I did a movie with Rocky?
I thought that was cool.
It made me
the joke was good, too.
Right.
I don't even know if it's the tree.
Right. It made me think, since they are making a Creed 2 and now that Sylvester is in charge of it, and now that America is feeling Milomania, do you think that he'll come back to play Robert Jr. again?
I would like to think that.
I mean, he's a bigger star than he's ever been, Milo.
Yeah.
Now we've got, you know, Robert Jr. was not really talked about in Creed, just a very subtle mention.
Well, they moved to Portland, him and his wife and his girlfriend.
Whatever. Right, and now we've got... I think Rocky will die in the new one. I don't know. I could see him coming. I could see him coming back.
Yeah, I think they play up on the, oh, man, it's Jack.
Right, for the young audience that's like, oh, Jackson. Oh,
Jackson.
All
right, great. Jackson.
So I have an idea, or I had a notion, of what the finale is going to be of the whole series.
Okay.
Rebecca dying. What do you think of that? Does that make sense to you?
I mean, how soon?
Oh, not soon at all. I think they're going to ride this gravy train.
I think this is us at least goes 5 seasons.
Right. But I think whenever it ends, that's what the end's going to be.
But you could carry the show without her, though.
No way. You cannot have the show without Rebecca. About? No.
Future Rebecca? Yeah, you can.
No, you cannot.
Present day Rebecca? You can. Because it's around the adult big three. How many times are we watching for Rebecca? Outside of the last two episodes.
For me, every episode. For me, every episode.
Oh, come on.
I think Rebecca's my favorite character.
Stop it.
She is.
Stop.
What's next for This Is Us?
I think now we see the dynamic change. I think now it has to be more of them accepting Jack's death. I think that there's a lot more closure.
So
now,
in the middle timeline, we're going to see.
Yeah. I think we're going to see them adjust more. I think Kevin made his amends with his dad to the best of his abilities that he could. Randall finally accepted that his father is gone instead of being. He is the representation of Jack. He is Jack Pearson's son. Everything has to be perfect. You are super dad.
Yeah.
You want to make the best for your kids. You want them to have the best memories. You want them to be loving and understanding. And you never want to come off as aggressive to them. Even the way he disciplines his children, I think, is perfect. So he is the representation of the son of Jack Pearson.
Right.
So I feel like he finally came to terms with he doesn't need to be that perfect because nobody's that perfect. And the idea of, yes, my father died, let me process that now. Because Beth was even telling him, like, I think you need to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like all the threads have kind of come to an ending. And this isn't even the end of this season. So I'm trying to think of.
Well, I think this.
Where we're going to go.
Now, what's going to play up now? Do we see. Right. What do we see now with Randall and Beth as business partners? Deja just came back into the picture. So now we have this whole another, you know, family nucleus that we need to see play out more. What happens with Deja's mother? And
Tope dies of a massive coronary?
You never know. I don't see that happening because the gravy train with Tope, everybody loves him. There's probably a message board. We love Tope.
Oh, I'm sure there's a hashtag. We love
Tope.
There
has to be. So I think that there's going to be an odd breakup between those two. I think he can't take her cynicism.
I think that she's getting better, though. She bought a puppy.
But I also think that change only lasts for a certain amount of time. I think she's weak-willed in certain instances.
You're very anti-Kate.
I like Kate a lot, but I'm still a little taken aback that she kind of guilt-tripped her father to go get the dog.
Kate blames herself for his death, and you blame Kate,
for the death.
No, I don't think – I don't – because remember he says to the great Bill Irwin – I really love the girl, really love the dog.
That was a better Jack.
Thank you.
Because you talked out of the other side.
Right.
So the left side is more Jack. The right side is more Stephen Strange.
Right. If Dr. Stephen Strange had been there when Jack was having his massive coronary, he would have saved him.
He would have used his dark arts.
He would have used his magic hands. Yeah.
I also want to see how single Rebecca in the past deals with being a single mother. Raising three teenage
children. We're gonna see that.
Children.
We're gonna see that.
That I want to see.
We're gonna see that. I think. There's places to go. I'm just not sure exactly like what the next episode is gonna be.
All right. So do you want to take a little break, Ski?
Yeah. Let's.
All right. Let's do this.
Take a break and come back with our obsessions.
This is what I'm gonna leave us with.
Mm-hmm.
Milo on Kimmel talking about how he got Sylvester Stallone. To do an episode of This Is Us.
So I was in the writer's room and I'm hearing all the stories about what's going to happen for this coming season. And the producer said to me, they have this idea for this, you know, big movie idol icon for Justin Hartley's character for Kevin. And they're like, we want someone like Sylvester Stallone. And I said, that's rad. And then they say to me, well, do you think he'd do it? And I go, well, I don't know. And then they just stare at me. And I go,
because you worked with him
because
before.
I played his kid in Balboa, and it dawned on me. I thought, oh, they want me to call. You want me to call him? Okay, yeah, I'll put on my producer hat and I'll call him.
So you made that call?
Yeah.
And so how do you pitch it to Stallone?
I mean, I called him, and then when I got on the phone, you know, hey, Sly, it's my, hey, kid, how you doing? Good to hear from you. You know, how you doing? How's your father? Things are well. And I'm like, yeah, things are great. Sly, how about you? Oh, you know, just writing. So then I kind of pitched him this idea and this storyline of kind of what his involvement would be. And you know, if you watch the show, if you don't watch the show, plug ears. But if you watch the show, basically, you know, Justin Hartley's characters kind of made the transition. He gets this big movie, and his co-star is Stallone. And that was his movie idol. And so when I kind of pitched it to Sly, I said, you know, listen, my son, this is his you are his movie idol, but you got to wonder where he gets it from. He gets it from dad. And so his involvement was a very big part of my character's storyline, of Jack's storyline, which meant a lot to me because Sly is one of my idols, and I got to work with him.
This is a good pitch so far, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was way more eloquent and it took a lot longer.
No, it's a solid pitch, you know. And did he immediately say yes?
He said, he goes, oh, it sounds pretty good. Send me some pages. So I sent him some pages. And then he wrote me the coolest email back where he had said something along the lines of, this sounds, oh God, what did he say? This sounds very cool. I'll be back in the States soon. And dare I say it, intriguing. But I wish I could remember the exact email, but he was like, this sounds very worthwhile. Dare I say it, intriguing. And I thought to myself, I said, I think he's going to do it.
So, we're in segment 3. We've got obsessions. Sometimes we tell each other what our obsessions are beforehand. Sometimes we save them to surprise one another. I have no idea what your obsession is this week.
I know.
And you don't have any idea what mine is, unless you can guess it. So, what is your obsession? Or do you want to... How do you want to do this?
Well, I always go first. Why don't you go first for once?
Do you
every
always go
every
first?
Every episode, it's me going first. The last two, at least, it's me going first.
Okay. Well, my obsession is a little comic book called Lumberjanes. Lumberjanes?
You and Kat piss me off with this comic book.
It's
not that good.
No, it's amazing. It's one of the best comic books I've ever read.
It's not that good.
No, I'm not going to... This isn't segment one. I don't want to argue.
Well, don't...
Please, sir, the floor is mine.
All right, good.
So Lumberjanes is a comic book by the imprint Boombox. It was created by Shannon Waters, Noelle Stevenson, and Grace Ellis. And it was initially illustrated by Brooke Allen. And Lumberjanes is about these sort of Girl Scouts who are in a summer camp, but the summer camp has all sorts of magical goings on. There's a bear woman who they call B-Dubs who turns into a bear and then back into a woman. There is mermaids in their river. There are Aztec gods. There's all sorts of crazy fun stuff. It's hilarious. It's adorable. It's really, really positive.
It is adorable. I will say that.
It's very sweet. Adorable. My work schedule has been hard, so for my last week has not been great. But I've read the first 6 volumes of it, and every day going home knowing that I was going to go home to the Lumberjanes made me happy because you read it and you're immediately happy. It's like it reminds me of Saturday morning cartoons from when we were kids, but just so much cooler. And it's genuinely funny. There are 5 characters. There's the Lumberjanes are April. She's like the spunky short one. There's Joe, who is a science genius. There is Mal, who is like the punk but also scared of everything. There's Molly, who is she's a expert archer, but has low self-esteem.
Yeah.
And then there's everyone's favorite, Ripley, who's the youngest, and she's rambunctious and wild, and she jumps on people, and she is crazy, and she's hilarious. It's the kind of thing that, to me, perfectly embodies what this segment is about, because it got into my heart. Like, I've been carrying it around with me in my heart for the last 2 weeks. Their saying is friendship to the max, which I'm totally for. It's just adorable. You read one of them?
Yeah, I did. I read it in the comic book store.
Okay.
So I didn't buy it. Like, I sat down at Comic Book Jones, I sat on the couch, and I read a couple. And I thought it was cute. I like the art. I think the artwork's cool.
Oh, yeah. The tone is just...
I like the suspension of disbelief that all these things happen at the summer camp.
But it's also like there's a real, like, winky-wink comedy to it.
It's cute.
I feel like kids should read it. I should be in school. It's all about love and it's progressive, but not like it's not at all like heavy-handed or overly political, you know. No, which is, I mean, everything's political, but it's not like it's got an agenda. It's just very sweet. It's a world where people are just loving and accepting, and all the bad stuff just comes from monsters and stuff.
Yeah.
But it is funny. There are some good jokes in it. There's a really funny reference, and there's a whole like Prison Break style issue where they're playing hide and go seek, and when one of them is in the jail, the other one goes to hug them, and then the jail guard goes, "No touching," which is a reference to Arrested Development, which really got me. And they do this thing where when they make an exclamation, they use a female pioneer's name. Like, what the Susan B. Anthony is going on here? Stuff like that. It's very funny. It's very cute.
It's well done. It's well written.
I would say it's one of these things that you got to pick up, because it is, as great as it is, it actually equals more than the sum of its parts.
I'm going to do it in volume form.
That's where I did it.
Yeah.
It's very good. So that's where I'm at.
Still
this
haven't
week.
Read The Ringside, though, have you?
No, not yet. Soon. It's what speaks to you at the moment. I see it every day, and I go, "Is now the time?"
I want to get volume 2, so you need to. But I want to reread volume.
Right.
I get volume 2.
Don't worry, I'll read it.
So, you know, because I've already ordered Swamp Thing, volume
good.
2.
Good.
So I'm waiting for that.
I've been reading everything on Comixology.
I can't do it.
I don't know. I
can't.
It.
I can't put it on my tablet. I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. I need to. I like going to comic book stores.
Oh, me too. And I'll go and I'll buy stuff. I have certain lines that I still buy. Like, all the Star Wars comics I buy and I collect, because I do want to support comic shops. So what's your obsession?
It's a comic book as well.
Yeah. What is it?
Yeah.
Is it Lumberjanes?
No. It's Infinity Gauntlet.
Does that have to do with that there Thanos?
It has to do with that there Thanos. That Mad Titan.
The Mad Titan.
Yeah.
Now, I've not read Infinity Gauntlet. Is this?
I'm not letting you borrow it until you read Ringside.
That's fair enough. Is this what the new Infinity War film is based on, or not?
So. Yeah, I think so. They're taking bits and pieces from this, and I think they're taking bits and pieces from the continuation later on.
When was this storyline in the comics written?
1991. It ran from July to December 1991. It was a 6-issue limited series.
So we could see medium Kevin or Randall or Kate reading it.
Yes.
At some point.
If they wanted to do a Infinity Gauntlet tie-in to This Is Us,
sure.
Where Jack gets the soul gem,
yeah,
totally.
Yeah. Oh, that's what brings Jack back.
Soul gem, yeah. And he becomes Adam Warlock.
Yes.
Yeah.
If This Is Us were not an NBC show and were an ABC show, the possibility of that would be real.
Yeah.
So tell me about it.
Okay, so it starts off with Thanos collecting the 6 Infinity Gems. And then he attaches him to his gauntlet. And their combined powers make him a god. It takes place in 91. And he collects the gems. And now he has the gems. And he becomes a deity. And he kind of goes crazy. I know he can handle the power because he has, you know, crazy intellect. But he becomes obsessed with death, Mistress Death. Like he wants her as his wife, and he stops at nothing.
So is he like the protagonist of the story?
No, oh no, he's a piece of shit. But you kind of feel sorry for him at the end.
Okay,
I don't really want to give too much away because I want people to read the book, and I don't think they're gonna run the book.
No, I don't think it's gonna ruin the movie at all.
No, I don't think they're gonna do it at the end. But with the ending,
is Black Panther in the book?
No,
he's not, huh?
He's not. Like, half of the world gets eradicated at the snap of a finger because of Thanos.
Okay.
And he thinks, well, survival of the fittest, let's thin the herd to impress Death.
Okay.
But she's not impressed by that.
I don't know if in the movie there's going to be any of this courtship or death. He probably just wants to control.
But I think the courtship or death would be a really good dynamic.
I mean, it would be. Also, there is a fourth one. A fourth Avengers also happening. So,
like, he is obsessed with her. Obsessed with her. He goes to limits. Like, he creates on an asteroid, he creates a temple of worship just for her where the entire battle takes place. And you have Mephisto, the devil, kind of being like his moral compass in certain things.
Sure.
Only to turn on him and know that, oh shit, I need a humanity to fuck over, so I really need to help save this world and try to thwart him and take those infinity gems.
Okay. So
the best part about it is the self-sabotage of Thanos that they make reference to several times with several different battles. At first, there was a conversation between She-Hulk and Vision where she was like, we beat this Thanos character before. We can't beat him again. And Vision goes, we beat him because he allowed us to beat him.
Okay.
And there's a scene where Adam Warlock and him speak. And Warlock goes, you don't think you deserve the power in which you have. So basically he's telling him, you're a self-sabotager in everything that you do because you are actually weak-willed. You come off as a tough guy, but you're actually a scared person that's begging for acceptance. And you self-sabotage everything that you do. And I don't want to give it away because I don't want to spoil the comic book, because I have people on Snapchat who listen to the show say, listen, I know you're going to talk about this. Please don't give it away.
All right, so let's not give it away. Let's tease it. Go to your local comic shop. Pick up the Infinity Gauntlet from 1991. Pick up all the volumes of Lumberjanes.
Yeah.
As a sorbet, as a bit of a palate cleanser from that action. That over there is my good friend Emilio Sparks.
That guy right over here is my buddy, my pal, Michael Bongiorno.
I think we did a great episode today. I think we learned a lot.
I feel good about it.
All right, you want to go bye-bye?
Go bye-bye.